Hey, welcome to the Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles. I am getting you ready for 2018 and your goals. This week, I want to talk about how do you buy an existing business? If you're out there considering buying an existing business for investment purposes or to run an existing business, I want to kind of go over some things that you should think of. So I want to get you ready for 2018. We're going to build wealth in 2018. Do I sound like I'm excited about it? Yes, I'm excited about it. Maestro, hit the music, please.
Support for this program comes from the Digital Broadcasting Network, presenting podcasts and web series from everyday people who have an extraordinary passion to make the world a better place.
Thank you for listening again. This is Kevin Riles, your host of The Real Estate of Life. I am excited again for this theme for this month or these next couple of episodes is just building wealth in 2018. And so want to give some of you out there a little bit of a different take. I know this is the Real Estate of Life and we typically talk about real estate, but one of the things I've been considering personally doing here next year is looking into buying existing business. Was talking to a franchisee, who owns multiple locations of a franchise, and just started doing the numbers on kind of their profit margins and things of that nature. I was like, man, you know, maybe I should diversify and look at other than just real estate opportunities, which I'm working on that as well, but also maybe look at purchasing an existing business. And so why am I looking at that? That's kind of what I want to go over. How do you analyze an existing business and where do you find existing businesses to purchase? One of the reasons that I'm thinking about it is that streams of income. And so if you guys, there's a game out there that I recommend for both teenagers all the way through adults, and it's called Cash Flow. The same person that wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki, developed this game with a CPA called Cash Flow. And this game, let's just say it's a little bit of a sophisticated modern Monopoly game. It's not just real estate based, though. It's business and real estate based. And the object of this game is for you to build wealth. They give you, at the beginning of the game, you're assigned a profession. And the object of the game is you are to get out of the rat race. There are two circles on the board. There's the inner circle, which is the rat race. And the rat race is kind of your everyday. I'm at a job. I'm making income. The everyday things of life happen. Sometimes I have a child, and so then that costs me more money. Sometimes I get a bonus at work. And so as you're rolling the dice, things that are around that happen in life happen. And then outside of the inner circle is you're outside of the rat race. And the outer circle right now is escaping my mind what it's actually called. But at the end of the day, the object of the game is to get out of the rat race and to invest in things that will give you the income so that eventually, and get this part, this is very important, that eventually your passive income outstrips your expenses so that your primary job is either extra or you don't have to work a primary job. So what do I mean by that? So that you've invested in so many different investments, whether it be real estate and or businesses or whatever the case may be, that your ancillary income, that passive income, now takes care of your everyday expenses so that you're out of the rat race. In other words, you're not required to work. And that's the principle around real estate investing, right? So you're looking for passive income for retirement or that will help you in retirement or help you get out of your corporate job or whatever job or just additional income if you love your job. So so I'm real estate heavy, right? I'm a real estate broker. I talk about real estate all the time, but why not look at other opportunities out there to possibly create residual and somewhat what I call passive active income? Because I really don't think that there's such thing as truly passive income. I think you have to be somewhat active with where your money is. And so wanted to talk about one of the things that the game talks about or gives you opportunity to do is buy an existing business. So sometimes you'll pull a card that says there's a car wash for sale and it produces this amount of income, but you have this amount of income to or in savings to be able to purchase it. So you have to sit there and think, should I purchase it? Because again, I'm trying to get out of the rat race, right? I'm trying to create extra income outside of my daily job. And so Matter of fact, maybe we need to change the topic of this is how to get out of a rat race. I'm saying that to Mr. Producer. So although I did an intro with another topic, I think we might be able to change that. So y'all are getting to see the behind the scenes. This is kind of the stuff that you want to see with this excellent award-winning podcast. We haven't won an award yet, but I'm calling it into an existence. Anyway, so how do I get out of the rat race? By looking at an existing business. What do I find an existing business to possibly purchase? So one of the mechanisms I use is bizbuysell.com, bizbuysell.com. That is a basically a MLS, a multiple listing services for businesses that are for sale. That's one way to do it. There are also folks out there called business brokers. They list on BizBuySell, but sometimes they don't list the whatever businesses they have for sale on BizBuySell. And so there are quite a few companies I know here in the Houston area, and I'm sure around the country, that are business brokers. If you Google business brokers in your area, you will find a list of folks that specialize in brokering or selling businesses on behalf of owners. And so that's the easiest way to do that. Some of you may know businesses where someone is a friend and they're about to retire, or you know they're going through a divorce and they have to give up the business, or you know, just all kind of, they're relocating and you know they own a business and so you really like the business. Or there might be businesses in your neighborhood where you've talked to the owner and say, hey, look, you know, if you ever decide to sell this business, I'm in here all the time and I see what type of activity you have and I really would be interested. So there's different ways to do that, but those are probably the primary three. Why would you want to do this? It is the simple difference between starting something or improving something or maintaining something. It is a lot of effort for those of you out there that have started a business before, for those of you out there that have not. The amount of effort and energy to start a business is significant. I cannot express in words how much mental energy, physical energy, financial money slash energy it takes to start something from scratch. I have done it multiple times in my career, and it is a significant investment to start something. You have to start it. You have to finance it. You have to keep it going. You have to get it stabilized. 75% of businesses that start are startups fail in the first 5 years. I know everyone has heard that that statistic. Actually, it's a little bit more than 75%, but at least 75%. And so I'm not telling someone out there that's thinking about starting a business not to start one. What I'm saying is that it just takes a lot of effort to do so. So you look at an existing business. You have financials you can look at. You have locations that you can look at. You have efficiencies that you can look at. In other words, it's a business that may be running and you look and say, man, I can really manage that better. Or if they did this, this would be, you know, much better to the bottom line. Or I could cut this because I really don't need this if I'm running the business, or things of that nature. So it's like buying an existing house or existing property. You can kind of look and see what's going on. And so for some, and I'm kind of wired like this, I'm really good at strategy and marketing, and I'm really good at taking something that someone else has done and to me making it better. So if you kind of wire it like that, then this is a great opportunity when you're looking at existing business to see, hey, you know, this is a great business, but I could do this, or I have the energy. I don't have the energy for the startup, but I definitely have the energy to kind of keep it going and make it bigger, right? And so that's one reason that I think looking at an existing business is appropriate, because you can see what's been going on. And if it's not been going well, but you still think it's an opportunity out there, then you can do that. If it is going well, then you know, you can say, hey, well, I'm just going to maintain what they already had. And so, again, looking at an existing business is I think, a little bit appropriate. And for those of you that are saying, well, no, I still want to do a startup, I think looking at existing businesses in the space where you want to do the startup can kind of get you allow you to do some research and see, man, you know, what if I'm thinking about starting a restaurant, let me look at some existing restaurants that are for sale. Let me, you know, go through the motions of possibly trying to buy it so that I can look at profit and loss statements. So I can look at what my margins would be based on, you know, the type of food that I'm selling and things of that nature. It's a really good way to move forward and kind of get business acumen and business minded in the space that you're looking at. Now, some people are agnostic as to what type of business they want to invest in or they want to purchase when it's existing business. Agnostic meaning they just don't care, right? If it's making money, I'm interested in it. I'm of the opinion, and the people that I've talked to in this space say, no, you need to concentrate on a sector. So if it's restaurants, then what type of restaurant, or just restaurants in general, because you develop expertise. The types of businesses I've been looking at have been kind of in that froyo space, the frozen yogurt, ice cream, dessert type of space. Why in that space, me personally, is one, I think they're family-oriented. I live in a family-oriented area, and there are not a lot of opportunities out there in my area for this, so that gave me the idea. Two, the investment for existing business for that type of business is typically a little bit lower. And then three, who doesn't like ice cream? I mean, like, for real, like, who doesn't like a good ice cream? Even if you out there and you say, well, I'm a vegan, every once in a while you're going to get you something, you know, something sweet, right? So that's just, you know, me. I might be wrong, and if you don't like it, your kids do. And so if it's a great location, then you're going to buy some ice cream. So that's just kind of my thinking. But I've seen CPA firms for sale. I've seen property management, real estate firms for sale. I've seen mechanic shops for sale, some within real estate that include the real estate, some that don't. I've seen manufacturers of all kinds of goods for sale. So all types of businesses are out there for sale. And so my idea is maybe, and I haven't decided necessarily to do this, so you guys are really inside my head right now, is my idea is that what if I could get me 3 to 5 locations around the city of Houston that are producing anywhere from 60 to 100,000 a year in profit margin. If I get 3 to 5 locations, that's $500,000 a year, $300,000 to $500,000 a year, that yes, I would have to be active. I wouldn't necessarily be pouring the ice cream. I would have employees and things of that nature, but these are existing businesses that have infrastructure already in place. And if I could just continue to manage them and be like a regional manager or hire me a regional manager to manage these, then man, you know, that would be income, and I could still do the real estate work that I do as well. And so that's kind of my idea. And so what I want to talk about is, in addition to that, I am looking for, and this is what I would suggest, possibly looking at different franchises. And the reason I say franchises is because they already have a system. So really what you're buying when you buy a franchise is you're buying a system. Right, you're buying a system that's already in place, and you're buying a help desk. So you're buying a system. They already know how to do this. They've sold the system on how to do this. Someone has been running that system. You're taking over for that person. And then after you take over for that person, you can call the help desk, which is the franchisor, to be able to ask questions. So I recommend, depending on what you're thinking about buying, franchises. And then also, what info do you need to note whether it's a good business or not? It's the exact same info, if you've been listening to my podcast, that you request when you are looking at a commercial property. You want to look at the profit and loss statements, right? Year to date, the last couple of years. If the business is in a separate entity, you want to look at the tax returns for the business. Does that line up with the profit and loss statements that they're sending you? You want to look at the balance sheet and see what assets the business holds and how their cash position is. You want to look at the franchise agreement. If they're a franchise, what are the requirements of the franchisee? Do I have to, for instance, one of the franchises I just looked at that's existing, that franchise or requires that they update their stores every 7 years. And so a store update is going to be required on this particular store in a year and a half. So the business owner disclosed that, hey, if you buy this, just letting you know, you're going to have to update the store in about a year and a half with the new look of the store. A lot of people don't know that. So requesting that information, requesting to look at the lease. If they're leasing the property, let me look at the lease. What does the lease say about transferring over? Does it allow? Do I need to enter into a new lease as a new entity, or can I take over this lease and do I need to do a sublease? Right. So all of these things you need to take a look at. That's why I'm possibly using a business broker. And then there are some commercial real estate brokers out there that, because they sell commercial real estate, they've had to become de facto business brokers as well. And so you can find expertise on that as well. And of course, you can always call me here at the office at 281-403-3700. That's my one plug for this, other than the graphics you're going to see under here that says call me. So with that being said, finding that information out is important, because you need to lay all that information out and say, okay, here's a profit and loss statement as an example. this business made $100,000 last year. This business is for sale for $300,000. I'm just making up a number, right? I'm going to finance that $300,000. And by the way, that's another consideration, is how do I purchase an existing business? SBA loans are probably the number one, other than cash, the number one way that most people purchase existing businesses. SBA loans allow for you to purchase existing businesses, and we can have another podcast to go over that. But essentially, you purchase it almost like you purchase property. You put a down payment down, and you have a loan. So that $100,000 that you're looking at now for the existing business does not include an SBA loan. So will it service that debt while I pay that SBA loan back, and will I still make a profit? That's a huge consideration. Other than SBA, the owner taking back a note, saying, hey, I'm going to give you a down payment of 20% on this $300,000, so $60,000. Will you finance $240,000 for me at a certain interest rate for a certain period of time? That's the second way that most people buy businesses. The owner, the existing owner, takes back a note, right? And so and then some people use a combination of both, where they'll get some SBA finance and the owner take back a little bit of a second, and they are paying both as well. So you have to analyze a business saying, hey, look, it's producing this amount of income. Will that income service the debt and then ultimately be able to calculate your break-even point? Break-even point meaning I'm going to hurry up and pay this debt off so that by year two or by 36 months, I've paid off all the debt, and then from then on, I'm free cash flow. And so looking at that, you have to really get a significant amount of information. Is the lease coming due? Is the lease coming due in the middle of your SBA loan? Will that change your lease costs? Would it increase your lease costs? Do you need to try to negotiate as a part of the purchase an extension in the lease so that you can capture what your lease costs are going to be and not get a big jump in your lease in your profit and loss? So again, I'm just kind of throwing out different things that you need to consider. All right. And then here's the other thing. How do I value? There's no comps, quote unquote, out there for businesses for sale. So how do I know that that $300,000 that particular owner is asking for is the right amount for this particular business? The best way I can tell you to do this is, one, get a business broker, because there are tools out there that allow people to help you with valuation. Talk to a CPA. Is second. And then thirdly, there are rules of thumb out there for multiples, the multiple formula, as I call it. Typically, most businesses are sold at a multiple of their net operating income. So after all of their expenses, there's a net operating income. This is how much the business is making. And you apply a multiple to that. For instance, in certain types of business, that multiple would be 2.5. So if a business is making $100,000, you multiply 2.5 times that, then that business should be for sale for $250,000 or lower, right? So knowing what those multiples are can give you a sense of what you should pay for an existing business, and that's very important. And then at the end of the day, if you've identified a business, you've done your due diligence, you've done your research, you said, I'm going to purchase it, you've gotten your financing in order, actually closing on the transaction, hire an attorney. I'm not even going to say you should hire an attorney. Hire an attorney, a business transaction attorney, to make sure that you have all the things you need in place, not only from an entity standpoint, but also transferring the assets of the business that you're buying into your entity or into your name. Hire an attorney. That's one for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, because I'm blessing you with this information right now, right? So hire an attorney to complete the transaction. So 2018, for those of you that are looking for real estate, I'm here for you. For those who are looking for an existing business, I'm here for you. I'm trying to help you create wealth in 2018. Thank you for listening to The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Rouse. I cannot wait to talk to you next week. See you then. Hey, thanks for listening as always. Do you have questions about any of the topics I'm talking about? If you have questions, let me know. Email me at kevin@kevinrouse.com. Again, that's kevin@kevinrouse.com. I'm going to do a podcast just on the questions that you guys are sending me. So feel free to send them to me. Again, that's kevin@kevinrouse.com.